I want to say this about old-fashioned church. And I don't mean to be mean-spirited when I say it, just going to make a statement. But if you let a man that'll be a rapper get behind your pulpit, you long way from old-fashioned and fundamental. Amen. And that's what's wrong with this crowd now. They've left them old portals of God, an old standard of holy living, preaching a King James Bible that's right. And you ain't got to have a laser show, and you ain't got to swallow goldfish, and you ain't got to give away TVs to fill a house of God up. Just preach the Word of God. Be real and be honest to the people that you preach to. And if we want entertainment, then we went to the wrong place this morning. That's why there's golf courses and amusement centers and city parks. This is the house of God. And this is a place where He said, be ye separate. Come out from among them and preach the Word of God in spirit and in truth. And so I've had enough of this phony baloney religion. I believe in old time religion. I believe in the old paths. And don't tell me this. Don't even think about telling me this and waste my time. Well, the methods change. The message hadn't changed. Let me tell you about the method. God said He chose the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe, not dancing. Amen. And if you want to do that shenanigans, then go rent you someplace on Friday, but keep it out of the church house. Amen. And the people here pay for the airtime, so I might as well give you some airtime this morning to let you know they still some places ain't a-going that way. And I believe in old-time Holy Ghost conviction. I believe in preaching on the power of God. I believe keeping the altar open. I still believe in loving sinners. And I believe in the local New Testament church to be what Jesus said for it to be. And I'm glad that I'm saved this morning. And I guarantee you there ain't going to be no punk on this stage rapping. He's going to get rap-dyed upside his head. Somebody say amen right. Somebody say amen right there, buddy. And I ain't a-fooling with stupid. Amen. And somebody say, well, I ain't going down there. There's that mean preacher. About time somebody stood up and drawed a line in the sand and said, let me tell you something. Whether that be 300 or 500, we're going to preach the Word of God down here. Amen. And I just still believe in preaching and worshiping an old-time God. And I thank the Lord. I'm glad to preach to a full church. But, honey, I'm not going into gizmics and gosmos to get you here. We had a purpose in our heart that we got saved. We want God to do something for us. Do something through us. And what a great opportunity in these last days. I've always said this, church, if we'll just keep preaching the Bible, we'll have something to offer to a community that the average church don't have no more. Back when I first heard preaching, Brother Monroe Wiggins, while somebody been up a rapping and a rocking and a romping. Could you imagine what that old man of God, why he'd have turned pews upside down in the church. But he is a putwooder. He wasn't scared. Somebody say amen right there, friend. It's about time some preachers go to getting backbone. And it's about time congregations go to get some glue in their britches and some backbone in them, amen, and back the man of God when he's preaching. Now, I didn't write the Bible. I just read out of it. And it's still right to preach out of the Word of God. Matter of fact, that's the only way we're going to get help. And now, that's my introduction. I'm glad I'm saved this morning. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad you're here. And I know it is some tough times, but I'm glad I got somebody to get me over some tough times. And turn with us in the book of Joshua, chapter number 1 today. The book of Joshua, chapter number 1. And don't be looking at your clock, wanting out at 12. It ain't going to happen this morning. And you go out to the buffet, you're just going to get soggy chicken at 12, 12:15. Go to a Holy Ghost preaching church, you'll get fresh chicken put in there about 1 o'clock. Somebody say amen right there. Book of Joshua. If you have a Scofield Bible, you can find it around page 259, the book of Joshua. Boy, how rich this book is. Matter of fact, you can just turn anywhere in the Bible and it'd be good. Amen? It'd be good. Joshua 1, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, he said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore rise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Verse 5, there shall not be any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with thee. I'll not fail thee nor forsake thee. Now, Christian, watch your Bible. Be strong and of good courage. For in this people shalt thou divide and inheritance the land that I swear to their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law that Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. You may be seated this morning. Father, we love you. We thank you for this time together. Help us to preach right. Help us to preach with compassion today. Help us to help families this morning. We'll be careful to honor you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. This morning, I'm interested in Joshua. First of all, I want to bring to your mind that in this reading, there is a type involved. There is a type involved. Many times in the Bible, the Old Testament gave us great spiritual truths and types that were to come ahead. And here with Moses and Joshua, we find a great biblical truth that's going to present itself in the New Testament that really Moses and Joshua might not have known a whole lot about, but God used them as a type. I want to share this type with you. The Bible said, now the death of Moses, now there we find the servant of the Lord, the great law giver. Now the law came by Moses. Aren't you glad that God wrote down 10 commandments and presented unto Moses the law? I'll tell you, there's nothing wrong with the law today. We need the law still applied in all of our courthouses, in our school systems, in our homes. It will do to live by. Somebody say amen right there. And so therefore, nothing was wrong with the law. Now, Moses had died. Therefore, Moses had brought death. That is a great principle today in our church. God gave the law not to bring life, but to bring death. That law has always brought death. You show me any man of God in this day and hour that is preaching and they're hung up in the law, they're going to bring death. The law does not bring life to a church. Law brings death. Laws always promoted death and not life. In that law, if you were to take a man's life, then that man could take your life. If you did this, then that would happen unto you. An eye for an eye or a tooth for a tooth. Therefore, God entrusted Moses to bring the law. Now, let me tell you, young people, as I said, there's nothing wrong with the lie, with the law. It'll do us good to live by it. Thou shalt not. We need those principles in our life and in our school. Somebody said, well, we can't understand a King James Bible. What's so hard about thou shalt not? That's pretty simple. And so therefore the law came by Moses. But this great type, soon as Moses had died, God brings something in on the scene, and his name was called Joshua. The word is the same Greek word as Jesus. Aren't you glad that the day that God stopped the law, that He gave us, Jesus. They're fixing to go into the promised land. Could I tell you that Moses, the representation, the type of the law, could not take them into the promised land. That law had them in Egypt. It had them bound. Had them in bondage. Thank God I'm not under the law this morning. I'm under the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. I still try to live and associate with the law. But honey, let me tell you, I can't live the law. Every time I try to live the law, I find myself short. But I'm glad the law couldn't take us into the promised land. But I'm glad our heavenly Joshua could take us into the promised land. You'll notice, first of all, he was a son. I'm glad the Bible said he was a son of Nun. There was a son one day, the Lord Jesus Christ, the son of all sons, the only begotten son of God. Matter of fact, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I'm glad God sent a son. I'm glad he gave us a son. He said he was the son of Nun. I'm glad there's none like him. I'm glad there's none like that son. Hey, he's the all-lovely one. He's the fairest among 10,000. There's nobody like this son. God loved us enough that he let Moses die and gave us a son. Oh, he was a son, but he was also a servant. The Bible said he was Moses' servant. I remind you that the Lord Jesus Christ, he came as a servant. He came as a mission. He came on a mission from the plan of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Calvary was not an accident. Calvary was a way that we could do away with Moses, but get into the Son. Aren't you glad the type is put in our Bible that the law died, but grace started through our heavenly Joshua, the Lord Jesus. Now watch what the Bible says. Now, we're not saved by the law. This is where people don't know anything about the church. They can't associate with being saved. They say, well, I can't live it. You're right, you can't live it. You see, the devil's used that more about anybody going to church and trying to get saved by the grace of God. It's what the devil will say. Well, you can't live that. Well, you know, it's refreshing to me to find that a man wrote in the Bible, he couldn't live it. And so the Bible says in Romans chapter number 3 and verse 20, talking about the law now in Romans 3 and verse number 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified. Look what he says. By the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. In other words, God gave us the law to show us how sinful we were. I do pretty good with 4 or 5 of them. There's a couple of them in there I have problems with. Sort of like Moses last week. The Bible said he was the meekest man in all the earth. But yet he got angry and he struck that rock twice. That he thought he had a handle on come back to bite him. That reminds me and you this morning, we better realize we've not arrived. We need our heavenly Joshua to take us in the promised land. But I'm going to tell you, the law that came by Moses showed us that we were sinners. He says this. He said, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Then he says this, verse number 21, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Let me help you right here in your pharisaical attitude. There's nobody here that's arrived. We've all come short of the glory of God. That's why we've all got to be saved, because we're all sinners. Now watch your Bible. Being justified freely in verse 24 by His grace. Here's our text. Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Then notice this in Galatians 3 and 22. Paul come upon a group of people in Galatia. They was trying to forget about the grace of God and bring the law back into their living. And like I say, there's nothing wrong with trying to walk by the law, but you can't get to heaven by the law. Now in Galatians 3 and 22, watch what the Bible simply says. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith that should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Watch this. But after that faith has come, we're no longer under a schoolmaster, for you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Now the type involved, the law of Moses stopped, and our heavenly Joshua Jesus started in his ministry. Aren't you glad for the dispensation of grace? I'm glad I'm not living under the dispensation of the law, but I'm living under the dispensation of grace. Therefore, in Galatians chapter number 2 and verse 16, here's a great verse. Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Galatians 3 and verse number 10. For as many, this verse helped me right here this morning. For as many as are under the works of the law, they're under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things. Be careful now if this get dangerous. Which are written in the books of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. I want to read it again. That no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident for the just shall live by faith. The law is not of faith, but that the man that doeth them shall live in them. Verse 13. Hallelujah. It ought to make 9 Baptists shout this morning. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Oh, I'm glad He took the curse for me. He became a curse on that tree for me and you. Our heavenly Joshua in that time. Let me tell you, the law of Moses cannot take us into the promised land. But our heavenly Jesus can. Now watch this in your Bible. Not only a type involved, there's a truth involved. There's a truth involved. Now I'm glad that I'm not held in bondage under the law. I'm in Christ Jesus by grace. That means if I fall and make a mistake, guess what? The law would tell me to be killed. But you know what grace says? He said, if I'll ask Him, I can be forgiven. I'm in Christ Jesus. I'm glad this great type of I wish some of you would get this morning. I'm glad what Moses couldn't do, Joshua did. Amen. I was trying to live right and do right. I had the right haircut, meaner than the devil. I was smoking more weed than anybody in the building. I didn't care what I said, where I went, long as I didn't get caught. But one day the schoolmaster came and convinced me of my sin. I said, dear God, I can't do that. He said, I know you can't do that, but I'm going to send somebody to do that for you. I'm going to put him on a cross. Let you get in Him, and He's going to bring righteousness to you. I say glory to God. I'm glad I'm saved this morning. And it's all because of our heavenly Joshua. Our heavenly Jesus did that all for you and all for me. He did that all. I couldn't go in the promised land, but He sent somebody to get me in the promised land. I'd run, but it'd scare all the visitors off. But you won't hear me advertising a TV to try to get you back. Oh, our heavenly Joshua. What great type in the book of Joshua. Boy, aren't you glad he let Moses die? That'd been hard traveling with him. Brother, that'd be hard to sit under a preacher like Moses. Even though he said he's the meekest man all there, he'd still tear your backside up, friend. All them qualities ain't bad. But I'm glad the law, I'm glad I'm not on the curse of the law this morning. That's where the devil will mess with you. Well, you'll make a mistake and the devil will say, well, you can't get up from there. The law pronounces you dead. Oh, no, grace pronounces you life. I'm so glad failure's not final. Some of you ought to tell the devil, put him back in that closet. Just because you've made mistakes and because you fell down in life, you're not under the law of Moses. That's a curse. It's a curse. It's a curse. We're under grace. We're under life. I'm glad our heavenly Joshua forgives us of all of our sins. Now, don't give me a license to sin. Nobody's got to tell me to put my shoes on before I go walk across a glass pile. I'm not crazy. God didn't save us to turn crazy. We're to look at that law and realize it's a good goad and it's a good guide, but we can't live it. But our heavenly Joshua took that curse for us, and no longer am I under the curse of the law. I was raised in a rigid religion. I was under the curse of the law. My sister, something happened in her life, and she had an open sin in the community, and the preacher come to the house, I'll never forget, he told my daddy, he said, well, we need to rebaptize her. Honey, that water ain't doing nothing with your sin, nor my sin. Boy, I come up under a strict law church. I mean, we couldn't do this and we couldn't do that. And I'm not promoting loose living this morning. Matter of fact, if you get in love with this heavenly Joshua, you won't have no problem with the law of God a lot. Amen. You won't pick the one you want and the one that you don't want. You'll try to live and please God. But I come in here to tell you this morning, ain't nobody going to the promised land by the law of Moses, but you can go by the grace of Joshua this morning. It'd been so refreshing if I'd had a preacher told me when I messed up, say, Ken, get up, brush off, ask Jesus to forgive you, and go on and be a blessing to people. And that's what He wants you to do. Let me tell you something. If every one of us, when we sin, couldn't get back up, it wouldn't be nobody here to sing. Wouldn't be nobody here to preach. I hear boys say, well, they can't sing in my choir if they do. Well, they're a Moses preacher. If you embarrass people, they won't never come back to church. If your little girl gets messed up out there in the world, the last thing I want to do is stand you and that family up in front of a church and embarrass you. I won't restore them considering myself, for I fall that way myself. We're not about embarrassing and running people off here. We're about helping people and preaching the grace of God and doing right. It will pay off on one day. Boy, I'm glad Joshua took me into the promised land. Now, there's a type involved. Number two, there's a truth involved. Watch what happens in verse 2. Soon as Joshua becomes our spiritual leader, there's no sooner in verse number 2, watch, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, rise, go over this Jordan. Thou and all thy people, he said, it ain't no exceptions. No sooner do we receive pardon from the Lord Jesus Christ than the great conflicts of Christian life begin. Every yard of the narrow way is contested. Not a foot will Satan yield to the Christian. When victory over one lust has been attained, another one immediately raises its ugly head. When one temptation has been overcome and got victory, 10 more others come to torment and menace the Christian. And we find out there's a great truth involved. He said, now that Joshua has become your spiritual leader, your heavenly captain, said, now I want you to go over this Jordan. You'll notice that not only is there a truth involved, but thirdly, in closing, there's a task involved. Look what it says. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now for there arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all the people. I wonder in this Jordan experience of your Christian life, I want to say, first of all, it's a place that's got you stopped. Can't go no further. Jordan's got in front of you, and you can't cross it by yourself. It's a place that you're stopped. It could be a place that's very sad. These people have lost Moses, their great leader. You may be here today and you've suffered the loss of a loved one, or you've suffered a great loss in your life, and it seems like with this loss, you just cannot get over your Jordan. I was looking at that, Brother Tim, and I got to meditating upon the statement that the Bible used, go over this Jordan. Brother Randall, Brother Lee, Brother Jerry, why didn't he say go through your Jordan? He said, I want you to go over, Joe. You know, there's a lot of things here that men you need to get over. We need to get over some things and let our heavenly Joshua take us into the promised land, that we may receive some things that only we can receive when we get over there. Now, I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but in this great text in Joshua, not only is this task involved, you'll notice there's a specific place, it's a stopping place, but look, it's also a starting place. You see, they had to go over to get what God had for them. And you're never going to get anything that God wants you to have till you move by faith and get over your Jordan. It's a specific place. Well, I've been hurt. Church hurt me. Let me tell you something right now. You'll get hurt in church. People in church will hurt you. People in Walmart will hurt you. It amazes me why people in Walmart offend you, but you'll go back down there every weekend. But somebody offend you at church, you won't come back to church. You see, it's a starting place. It's a place that you've got to get over. And only until you get over there are you going to get what God's got for you. It's a place of great faith. It's a task involved. You see, you've got to go over to get what God has for you. He simply says this. He said that, verse 3, every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I told him. Let me ask you something. I wonder what we're not getting because we can't get across our Jordan. I wonder what's out there for your preacher. There's something got me stopped this morning. I wonder what much better is for me out there if I can just get over this that's got me stopped. I look around this morning and I'm going to tell you something. You'll find something about me if you hear me preach long. I'm very honest. And I don't pull any punches. But there's people this morning, benches are empty. I'm very concerned because I'm their preacher. And I want to know something. What's got them stopped from coming to church? And unless they get over it, they're not going to get what God's got for them. What's got you stopped in reading your Bible? There's a pastor, as I told you last night, we talked about an hour. He asked me this question. He said, Brother Ken, I wonder if we took an inventory in the morning and asked any of our church folks that's there how many prayed 5 minutes just this morning for our service, how many could walk up on the stage? He said, I'll tell you another thought. I wonder if we had every member in our church that we preached to in the morning that could come up on the stage and stand that read their Bible every day this week. I wonder what's got you stopped. Don't you realize that in this place in your life that it may be a place that's very sad, it's got you stopped, It's a place that's overflowing. It's bigger than what you are. Matter of fact, this thing was out of the banks. It was a big time. It was a flooded time. And it looked hard. Now, I'm going to tell you, there's some things in our life that's hard to get across. Depression's hard to get across. People tickle me. They walk up to the preacher and say, "What's wrong with the preacher today?" Well, my goodness. What's wrong with her today? What about uplifting people instead of dragging people down? And me and Mr. Day seen something on a church sign the other day preaching about we loved. It said, are you a spigot or a drain? Amen. I want to be a spigot. I want to splash out on somebody. I want to give you two little nuggets right here because I'm going to get somewhere next Sunday preaching if I can or tonight. I'm going to give you two little nuggets right here on when they cross. I want you to look now. He told them to, and in verse 10, look what Joshua did. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, it wasn't no time to vote. He said, we're going to cross through there. And because we're going to cross through there, God said He's going to be with us if we go. God said He'd never leave us nor forsake us. Let me tell you, church, it ain't no time to vote on whether to do right. We just got to do right. Amen. There ain't no time to get bogged down in politics. Follow your heavenly Joshua into the promised land and enjoy some good things for your family. I want to ask you something. If they hadn't crossed with Joshua, what would them families been missing? That's what I wish I could get you to see this morning. There's some of you here for the first time, but I just want to ask you something. I'm just an old country preacher. I want to ask you something. If you don't get your family in the promised land, you're going to miss things that only the promised land can do for your family. Now I want to show you this thought. The Bible said that they went across. The ark of God, the priest led them through, and the waters parted. And this is what Joshua said. I want to say this. I want you to listen to me. In Joshua 3, he rose up early in the morning, and he told them, verse 3, and you see the ark, the covenant of the Lord, and the Levites bearing it, said, shall go after it. So they go. This is what he said. I want you to underline it. Found in verse number 4, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. I read after an old author that's in heaven tonight, and this is what he said. Each day God says to us what He said right here. You've not passed this way heretofore. Did you know when you get up in the morning you can read this verse and it's just as fresh to you and it's what it is to say? You've not passed this way heretofore. Me and my wife, we experienced some things this week with our family we've never experienced heretofore. There's a family out there to leave, go see at the funeral home this evening. They've experienced some things today that they never have before. And this is what the old author said. He says, each day God says to us, you've not passed this way heretofore. So this was his statement. What needs then to follow Jesus? If we're going places I've never been before, I don't want to be far behind Him. I want Him in front of me. Now I want to show you something else that I seen preaching. And it'll help you maybe. Chapter 3, verse 15. They start to go over. And this is what they said in verse 15. As they that bear the ark were coming into Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest. Circle his. I'm glad he owns both sides of the river. Miss Emily, I want you to come on pen, and I want you to sing something for me this morning for invitation. Whatever you want to, whatever's on your heart, I want you to come sing. He said, Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest. You see, this gives me help and gives me hope that at my Jordan, I'm glad that God owns both sides of it. Neither side of it took him by surprise. In verse 17, when you're following Joshua over and you get across Jordan, the promised land, he said in verse 17, and all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Jordan is a great type of death, and we can't save ourselves. We couldn't be saved by the law. But aren't you glad when Joshua picked you up by the hand. The grace of God's led you across that Jordan. You can pass clean over. I'm glad I'm saved this morning. Glad I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's some of you, no doubt in my mind, in my heart, in my spirit, needs to get over a Jordan in your life. I want to open this altar up today. Now I want to say, first of all, if you've never been saved by the grace of God, I don't know of a better morning, don't know of a better day to take our heavenly Joshua by the hand by faith